Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
Woo-woo! Woo-woo! Good Friday morning, everybody. Hope you've got plans for a fantastic weekend. Good morning, fellas. How you feeling this morning?
100.
100.
Not bad.
How'd I do, Key?
Yeah.
I didn't feel it. It didn't feel good coming out of my mouth, quite honestly. It was.
You know what it is, Travis?
I go away for a few days and leave you with two other white dudes, so I got to get you.
100.
You can't.
That was better. That was better.
That was better. So you got to remember, you may see that D in the middle of that word, but it doesn't exist when you talk about it. It doesn't exist.
Silent, like Pfeiffer, like the P on the front of the word Pfeiffer. Yes, 100.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. See, I just needed a little batting practice. I just needed a few reps along the way. You guys ready for a weekend? You guys got plans scheduled? You guys going to stay inside the house because everybody's getting sick again? What's the plan?
I won't be going your way. That's for damn sure. We're going to try to figure out what to do something. I mean, it should be pretty nice this weekend.
It's supposed to be.
And then, you can still move around. Just got to be real careful and very diligently when you're moving around because we spike it around here.
Yeah, it's been a busy time here for coronavirus positive tests. What about you, LZ? You staying inside? What are you doing?
Well, I'm probably going to be spending some time with protesters. You know, after the story about Elijah McClain out of Colorado, the young man who was killed, and the state governor's office finally appointed a state attorney to reopen that case. We know that the protesters shut down the 110 a couple of days ago. And I'm just out there just grinding, man, just trying to report what I see and, do my part to use my platform to make sure the information gets out there to people so they can make up their own minds.
Some of the
and
information.
And then tell them when they're wrong.
Some of the, get ready. because you're going to need to tell people that they're wrong again here. Some of that information came out yesterday. We've spent the better part of this week, guys, talking about Talladega, Alabama, and the noose that was found in Bubba Wallace's garage. And I think the good news is that it was not a hate crime. That was according to the FBI. And then we saw the picture yesterday. We saw the picture of what we were talking about all week finally yesterday. And I felt terrible all over again. And usually when you are proven right, it doesn't usually feel terrible. But this is one of these times where all of us were saying, of course the FBI did the right thing. Of course NASCAR did the right thing to bring in the FBI to investigate this as a hate crime. And it means, everybody overreacted. You need to slow down. You can't assume the worst of everybody. You can't assume that everybody that's from the South or that's a stock car racing fan is a racist. And then we saw the picture yesterday, guys. And that picture just sends a cold chill down your spine because that's not something that you have to pull down the damn garage door. That is something that is there to intimidate. That is something that is there to scare people because when you saw it, there's no mistaking it for exactly what it was. And that was a noose that is there to hang people, there to hang black people specifically in the South, in the state of Alabama. And this whole concept of, everybody see, this is why you have to be careful with this stuff. No, see, that thing was hanging in there for nearly a year and nobody did anything about it.
What did you say, Trav? It wasn't there to pull down the garage.
Yes. Yes.
Big old, say that it was. Say that it was, though, Keyshawn and Travis. Say it was there to pull down a garage. Let's entertain that for just a brief second. Where was this rope hanging from? A garage. A garage with a racing car in it, full of all these drivers and blah, 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 blah. If that particular noose, that rope, had been there for as long as they said it was and was used just to lift up and close the garage door by people working on a car, wouldn't it be dirtiest at a certain point? Why is that thing so damn clean? Clean. Like it ain't been touched. When they told me that was the picture, my first thought was, you've got to be kidding me. They're trying to tell me This thing has been up for months and months and months and months, and that a thousand or hundreds of people or whoever have used this thing to pull and close that garage door. But when you look at that picture, you can't tell me that thing looked as if it's been used.
It's brand spanking new.
Do you see any oil, Raj?
No.
Any oil?
No.
Any dirt on it?
Mm-mm.
I was like, what garage was, what car garage was this? I don't work on cars, and my garage door pull is dirty. And I don't work on cars. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like going, hold up now. I was fully expecting to see something that looked as if it's been utilized, maybe even frayed a little bit around the edges, because when you use a slip knot like that, it goes up and down, right? You pull on it, it closes down. Sometimes you got to open it back up again in order to get your hand through. If you use your foot at a certain point because you don't want to bend down, you got to open it back up because it's a slip knot, so it tightens up. It's going to get dirt on it, is my point. That thing looks so freaking clean, I got angry all over again because it was abundantly clear that was brand spanking new.
Yeah, I just... You know, I don't know. It's one of those deals, man, where you know what you're dealing with. You know the environment that you're in, and only thing that from my perspective to change it, they're gonna have to just continue to hammer it home from a NASCAR standpoint, because it's been around, it's been embedded there for years on top of years on top of years, that it's gonna be hard for anything remotely close to changing overnight. That's not gonna happen. So I just hope that they continue to stay trying to clean it up to the best of their abilities.
Well, that's the perfect word, that the embeddedness of this all, that, and this is what I've been saying for a few days, that to LZ, to your point, people have been going in and out of that garage. People have been walking up and down the pit row where all the garages are, and this thing is dangling in plain sight. And let's assume for a second, and I hear what you're saying, LZ, that's an awfully clean-looking piece of rope for it to have been there for a long time, much less in an environment where there's oil and grease and God knows what else all over the place. That for the better part of a year, people are just walking around, and it never registers to anybody that that's something that shouldn't be there, that that's something that is wildly inappropriate, that that's something that should never have been there in the first place, that that's something that nobody wanted to take down. This is the embeddedness key. This is the part of this that is, I just don't know if it's fixable, that we can talk about it and we can try to enlighten people, say, hey, look, this is a symbol of all of these terrible things, but that world is just, they just walk, they don't see it, they don't feel it, because they never have had to deal with it, they've never have had to have this discussion before until right now, and good luck changing that. We see that when it's just this endless stream of, oh, that's a problem, okay, I guess we can take it down, they're not really feeling it, they're just doing it because they know that they're supposed to do it, but they don't feel it.
Well, that's the choice, right? That's the question. Because what I talked about at the beginning was a scenario in which it's brand new and it was just recently put up, which is disgusting. And Travis, what you're saying is it's not brand new. It has been hanging there and no one said anything, which is disgusting. Either way it goes, it's disgusting. Either way it goes, there's a blatant display of racism. So either I'm looking at it and I'm saying, man, that rope's too clean to have been up there for as long as they claim. Someone put that up recently, which means there's racism involved. Or it's been hanging there like they say, and everyone's just complicitly racist, because you can't tell me in the great state of Alabama the noose doesn't register.
Right.
It's like the city councilman in Scottsdale who's in trouble now because he had his mask on saying, I can't breathe. You're not going to fool me, dog, and tell me that phrase didn't register for something after months and months and months of hearing people talk about I can't breathe, going all the way back to Eric Garner. You're not going to fool me on that. And NASCAR is not going to fool me into believing that either the rope was old and just happened to never get dirty, or that the rope is clean but it was just used as a tie. No, that was a message, either from the past or from the present. It is a message, and I feel for my brother Bubba, because he knows the truth too. He knows the truth too, which means he still has to interact with somebody who may know something about how that noose got there, and he's got to keep it moving because calling out nooses and racism isn't his job. Winning races is. So he's got to keep it moving, but I feel for him. I feel for him.
Do you guys believe that NASCAR is lying about the thing being there for a long time? Is it just straight up they're just covering their butts and that they're lying about it, that the time that it's been hanging in that garage?
Well, did NASCAR say that, or did the FBI say it was in there for a while?
The report, that's a good question, Key. And
the investigation
concluded that it had been hanging there for a long time. The FBI conducted the investigation, so I'm assuming that the FBI passed that information on to NASCAR.
Yeah, so, you know.
But, and this was based upon video and pictures that they said that they've seen. Now, I don't know. I'm not who supplied FBI with those pictures and with those images. I don't know if it was other drivers. I don't know if it's from the website. I don't know where the FBI key got those other pictures, but their conclusion was that it wasn't done that day to intimidate Bubba Wallace.
Well, probably was done. So if you're saying that day, and that was in specific words, it could have been done prior to that, because I'm sure that they knew what. It's not like we show up and they say, "Oh man, what do you just take garage number 5?" I'm sure that they had plenty of time to, organize who goes where.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it ain't all of a sudden a week of you decide, "Oh, we're gonna put this guy in this garage, this guy in this garage, and this guy in this garage." I mean, you would think a well-oiled machine that would be Talladega have their it together to be able to designate who goes where.
So well, there is a video said, that was posted. Well, there's a video that was posted in November 2019 that shows a noose hanging from that spot. From garage side number 4.
In 2019, you put it on the video and nobody said nothing? So you videoed it in 2019.
Exactly. And this is where we are with this. And this is why this, like you said, Key, moving that needle. Good luck, everybody. Hopefully you get it done, but good luck with that. All right. Vegas has win totals out for the Dodgers, and I think they got it too low. I'll explain why next on the morning show on ESPN 710. So we talked about yesterday that the Dodgers and the Yankees have the best odds to win the World Series coming up, according to Las Vegas. Both of them are 7-2. The Dodgers actually narrowly edged out the Yankees when it comes to expected win totals for the upcoming season. According to Caesars, the Dodgers are expected to win 37 games. That's one half game more than the New York Yankees, who come in at 36.5. That seems low to me. And here's
it's
why.
Really low. Really
it
low,
seems
right?
low to me. Really. Think about who they're going to play, right? Think about that, because of the compacted schedule and because they're trying to limit exposure, you're going to play basically in your division and anybody that is a geographic convenience for you. In other words, the Dodgers are going to play the Angels, even though the Angels aren't in their division. The Dodgers do not play another team in the top 11 in projected win totals. Okay, the next best team that they're going to play regularly in what's coming up are the Angels, who are projected at 31.5. That's the 12th most in the league. The next are the Diamondbacks, also at 31.5. So they're tied for 12th in this situation. The Dodgers are going to be playing the Giants, who stink. The Padres, who stink. The Rockies, who stink. The Angels, who knows? We'll see where they are. But the Angels are not going to be a great team, I don't think. 37 wins in a 60-game season, that's 23 losses. 37 and 23, I mean, I get it, you're 14 games over 500, but doesn't that seem low to you guys? That seems 40 seems like a much more realistic number to me.
I mean, you said 37, so that's not far off.
In just 60 games, Key, that's a pretty big difference. You got Arizona and the Angels expected to win 31.5. You got to go down. The Padres are 31. You go down. The Rockies are 27. The Giants are 24.5. These are bad teams.
Yeah, but remember, you know, good teams don't necessarily get smoking hot to the end.
Well, they don't have that option.
In the beginning. Well, that's why you with this particular format, you could have a dog that wasn't nowhere around all of a sudden emerge. because of the number of games that's being played.
Well, listen, I personally felt like as soon as I saw 37, I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. It's just 60 games, and you're saying we're only going to finish seven games above 500? That doesn't sound right to me. And to your point, Travis, especially given the division that we're in, and I don't know if they're just assuming everyone's going to have these weird kind of starts. But obviously, they must be assuming that, because if we're the top leader at 37, it's only south from there. So I guess they're just assuming that the play is just going to be bad and there's just going to be a lot of weird things happening and that no one's going to be able to come out the gate cracking and in sync and just blazing hot. If my squad with this roster is going to finish a season seven games above 500, I'm going to look at you cockeyed. Like, what are you
talking
about?
It'd be more than seven. It would be 14, wouldn't it? Yes. 37 and 23. I mean, we're talking 14 games over 500, right?
Right.
So, right. Yeah. 37 right. and 23 is 60. So you're 14 games over 500. But that's still, I mean, it's a great record. You look at the percentage. The percentage is about what you would expect them to do over the course of a regular season. The Dodgers were projected to win about 100 games during the regular season. They were projected at a 633 clip. Now they're projected at a 617 clip. But I'm not worried about the Dodgers getting in. The Dodgers are going to win plenty of games to get in. Where it's going to get interesting is in this middle, where if you do win, let's say you win 32 games. Now we're talking about being 32 and 28. You're four games over 500. A bunch of those teams are going to get into the playoffs. A bunch of teams right around the break-even mark, because if the best team is only winning 37 games, and the teams that most of the teams we're figuring in the middle, we're looking at a whole absolute sprint to the finish line of 500 teams trying to come in and get into the postseason play.
Yeah, that's right. And so when you look at it, you're going to have those mediocre teams that's kind of like would have been completely destroyed when you got to August. Now you're going to have those teams in the mix because of how they start. You know, they typically – think about it. The Padres was like, oh, Padres, ah, they'll cool off. And they, a couple years
and
ago, the Diamondbacks are in first place 2.5 months into the season, last place at the end of the year. And so that's what a problem I see is going to be. Well, you're going to have those teams like that getting in and have a fighting chance, and they're the ones that could derail you in the end. Those are the ones that can get you. I don't really care about the total wins, because you're in. But the fact that they're giving these other teams as dogs an opportunity to get in, that's the worry part for me.
Keith, take me through it. And obviously football is really different than baseball. Just the mentality.
No, it's not. It's men playing and they wear uniforms.
No, it's different. You guys got 16 games, right? 16 games, and the difference between 10 and 6 and 9 and 7 is a big deal. 10 and 6, you probably get into the playoffs. 9 and 7, who knows? At 8 and 8, we're talking two games. The odds of getting in at 8 and 8 are really, really low. So every game that you go out there as a football player matters a great deal. It's incredibly important in a football situation. And baseball typically is, like you just said, yeah, they're off to a fast start. We'll catch them, no big deal. Or we can have a week where we don't play very well. Can you create a false sense of urgency, or not even false, but an artificial sense of urgency right out of the gate? Can you talk yourself into something that you've never had to do before in baseball? Because typically on opening day, it's like, all right, buckle up. We got 6 months of this stuff, and now it's going to be, all right, we got to go and we got to win tonight. Can you trick yourself mentally to get to that spot?
Absolutely, because after the first, say, couple of games, now you kind of know where you're at. You kind of, after that first couple games and you look around the league, you kind of know. You like, you could tell who's for real, who's not for real, who's going to be there in the end, who's not. It doesn't take you 8 games into the season to know that.
You talking football or baseball?
Football.
Okay,
football.
Yeah.
You know, if you come out the gate and you 0-2, you like, ooh, how did we lose those games? How did we win those games? Who we played? Who did they play? You could certainly find your way talking yourself into multiple things.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm just going to assume.
That's why every single game is so important.
I'm going to assume if it's, you know, 60 games, 1,000 games, two games, given the history of this team, that the given the history of this team, the sense of urgency is going to be there regardless. You know, they've been through so much. They've been cheated, so they're extra motivated. They have Mookie, so they have extra energy coming in from a new voice, and they just have their own sense of now is the time because our window may be closing on this particular construction of the team. And I just feel like all those things are going to give them the urgency they need for this short abbreviated run. You don't have to get them up for anything. Everyone is well in tune to what's at stake. And we're the ones that feel most robbed.
I hear what you guys are saying, that intellectually, I know that my runway went from 160 games to 60, and I got to get going right out of the chute. And I can sit down and I can look at a calendar and say I have a lot fewer chances to get this done. Baseball players typically do not have to do that until they get to the very end of the line. That this is, you know, all of the cliches that we've talked about. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Well, not anymore. That you can't get too high, you can't get too low, you got to stay right in the middle. Well, not anymore, because if you stay too low for the better part of a week, you're probably out of this thing. It's just that if all – kind of flip it on its head, Key. Imagine if all of a sudden football, you said, with football players for forever, from the time they're playing football, we got one game a week, we got to get up, we got to go do this thing, this game is important, it could change the entire season. If for whatever reason you said, instead of playing 16 games, we're going to play 40. The season's going to last 2 years, and we're going to play 40 games. You would have a little bit of a different approach. It would be a little bit more of a long term, but maybe you'd have to kind of recalibrate the way you go at it. Baseball's just doing it in reverse.
Yeah, you would, but when you're looking at it, it's one of those things in football that every single game is so important that if you miss at any juncture of time during the season, it could be a wrap, right? If you all of a sudden are sitting there and you are at 5-4, but you still got a shot, if you all of a sudden go to 5-5, it's like, yeah, we in trouble now. But if you go to 6-4, it's like, oh, we can run the rest of this table and wind up at a 12-4 type team. But if we go 5-5, we might be in trouble.
Yeah, Elsie, you mentioned it yesterday, that part of the responsibility of all this is going to come down to Dave Roberts, and it's going to come down to Joe Maddon. It's going to come down to Terry Francona and Aaron Boone and all these guys that are the managers of the teams that we expect to be good, to try and instill that change in mentality. I think the urgency will be there because everybody understands that you just don't have enough time, but the change in approach, in mentality, just kind of throwing your head in a different spot. If I've trained one way for 30 years, the way most of these guys have, and all of a sudden I say, oh, hey, by the way, this time we're doing it totally the opposite, it's going to take a minute.
it certainly should take a minute. Your whole life you've been going, don't worry about it, it's just baseball. And all of a sudden now, you better worry about it. We don't have time for this.
Yeah, you went 0-4 last night. You're done. Bring up the next guy. All right, LeBron is talking, and LeBron is saying something that makes a whole heck of a lot of sense to me. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Colin Kaepernick is the desire of multiple NFL teams, according to reports that we've heard and coaches that we've heard, both on and off the record. That they keep telling me this, except for nothing really keeps happening. LeBron James brings up a point that I have brought up before that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and that is that the league still refuses to say Colin Kaepernick's names. I want you guys to take a listen to LeBron talking about this. He did an interview with Bloomberg. Let's take a listen.
As far as the NFL, I'm not in those locker rooms. I'm not with those guys, but I do understand that an apology. I have not heard a true official apology to Colin Kaepernick on what he was going through and what he was trying to tell the NFL and tell the world about why he was kneeling when he was doing that as a San Francisco 49er. So I just see that to be still be wrong. And now they are listening some, but I still think we have not heard that official apology to a man who basically sacrificed everything for the better of this world. So I can say that about that.
So they still not saying his name. He still has not been brought in for a workout. He still has not been signed to a team. And I'm worried that all of the talk, all of the statements that get issued, all of the, hey, we'd love to have him, is exactly that. It's just this idea of, hey, we're going to say we're going to do better. Hey, we're going to say that we're more in tune with the feelings of our players. But nothing's changed. They won't even say Colin Kaepernick's name officially.
And you probably won't hear his name officially because at the end of the day, the owners are the ones that's controlling everything. They issued their statement through Roger Goodell. There's a handful of coaches that have a desire to see Colin Kaepernick back in the NFL, but they have yet to work him out or sign him or bring him in or have any conversations or dialogue with him and his camp whatsoever. But the owners would argue, what are we apologizing for? That's what the owners would try to argue. They would sit back and they would try to say, what are we apologizing for? And you would say, because you blackballed him. And then if they say in an argument, I mean in an apology, that we're sorry that we blackballed him, then everybody will say, see, you blackballed him, right?
Key, couldn't they do it without using the words blackball? Couldn't they use it? Couldn't they do that thing which people do all the time when it comes to an apology, that apologize for something that you're not really saying it, which could be as simple as what they've said before. Like, for instance, Roger Goodell's statement that we played a couple of that he put together a couple of weeks ago. It could have been exactly the same thing, only had the words, you know, Colin Kaepernick tried to bring this to our attention several years ago. Unfortunately, the message was not heard. Unfortunately, the message was not received the way it should have been. And to Colin, we apologize for not listening more carefully. It could have been as obtuse as that.
You and I get that. But then they would say to you, that's admitting that we kept him out of the league for the last 5 years. That's admitting to their wrongdoing when he was suing them for collusion. Now they're admitting to that. And they're not going to do that, I'm sure, especially when they came to a settlement in this situation.
First of all, I want to give a shout out to LeBron James and Maverick Carter. We didn't spend a great deal of time talking about it yesterday, but when you brought up his name again, Travis, I just feel the need to just lift my brother up, because what he and Maverick and his partners have accomplished in raising $100 million for their brand new media company is outstanding. And I just want to give them all the props for doing that. Looking forward to the content they're going to be producing going forward. We've all seen The Shop. We know that he's done documentaries. Now that he's got this $100 million seed money, I'm looking forward to seeing all the projects that the two of them and others like Jimmy are going to be trying to do going forward. And I'm going to assume with that, there's going to be a story about Cap, about what Kaepernick went through, about what he continues to go through, about what he tried to do, and how the NFL tried to stop it. And the apology isn't just about Cap's ego. The apology is about the acknowledgement that you tried to squash a message that you're now trying to pretend you were a big part of at the onset, or that you are somehow a big part of on your own motivations, your own desires, and that it wasn't that you're following the crowd, you weren't following the people in the streets, you weren't following the changing of the tea leaves that only changed because the guy that you kicked out of the league started it. The apology is not about Cap feeling better. The apology is about you taking a knee, bruh, because you didn't want to hear what he and Eric Reed and so many others were trying to say, and now you're trying to act as if you're all in. But you can't be all in until you first you admit to the person who tried to get you there that you did some wrong stuff to him. And by wrong stuff, I mean the way that you leaked information, the way that you talked about him, the way you tried to scrub him from your history. I've written pieces for months and months and months about the subtle things that the NFL has been doing over the course of the seasons to try and scrub him from his history, taking his name out of songs that are in NFL video games, trying to pretend like the 49ers had just gotten back to the Super Bowl for the first time since Steve Young led them there. That was from an official NFL Facebook page that when the 49ers made the playoff, made the Super Bowl, they said it was the first time since Steve Young. All this little slick stuff you're trying to do to scrub this man's name because you can't admit that you tried to erase what he was trying to accomplish. And now that the world has changed around you, you're trying to act like you're part of the party now. Nah, bruh, you need to first take a knee. And that's what LeBron James is talking about. That's what I've always been talking about and hooping and hollering about. And I know many other people feel the same way. It's like, I'm not going to lie to you and pretend like I'm not going to watch football anymore. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to do what I've been doing, whether y'all get tired of me talking about it or not, is that every single time a quarterback goes down, I'm going to be like, I know somebody can come in. I'm going to just remind you, there is a guy out there that can help a playoff-bound team that's struggling at the QB position because of an injury or because he's got coronavirus or for whatever reason. I can certainly continue to use my platform and not pretend like I'm going to boycott the NFL because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lie to you guys, but I'm going to hold them accountable every single way. Just the same way I'm not leaving America, but I'm going to hold America accountable for what she's owe us and how she hasn't fulfilled her promise. I'm not going to leave, but I'm going to let you know, girl, you ain't filled your promise. And I'm going to let the NFL know, yo, bruh, you Kaepernick's there. What's wrong with Kaepernick? Oh, you still mad? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm not going anywhere.
Key, does that slick stuff extend as far as the reports that, you know, teams are interested, teams want to bring him in, that it's coronavirus that they can't evaluate him, they can't work him out, they can't give him a physical, all of these things? Is this more of the slick stuff that LZ's talking about? Or is it sincere that once we get back to a more normal formatics of NFL that you expect Colin Kaepernick to be on a team? Because I've heard we love him, but just not right now before.
You know, I think that is certainly something that you could hide behind. We won't know until the teams are allowed to start to bring people in. You certainly could hide behind it, because Cam Newton is still available. So as long as Cam is available and other players are available, you know, there's guys like Jadeveon Clowney who's available.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can't, and he's fully healthy and hasn't, you know, and is not under the gun based on politics. But he's still available because people can't put their hands on him and interview him and see his physicals. And they can't do all of that right now. So unless they want to take a flyer on it and know everything is right, he's still available, so they can hide behind that. But they can't do anything with Colin Kaepernick right now. Do I think that he'll get an opportunity to sign with somebody? You know, I go back and forth every day. I'm not one, and this ain't a slight at LZ as a reporter. I'm just not one that listens when they always saying there's a bunch of teams that likes to sign him and would like to sign him, but this, and this.
But, okay, I agree with you on that, Key, but it's not just journalists. It's also guys like Pete Carroll who said it. I mean, Pete Carroll's not a reporter. Pete Carroll said essentially the same thing.
Well, Pete Carroll, I go back again. Why would anybody call Pete Carroll about signing a quarterback that he ain't never coached? It ain't like they asking him about what's the guy to back up there now? Geno Smith. They didn't call and say, well, Geno's free. What did you think about him when he was with you? So, if they was calling Jim Harbaugh to ask about Colin Kaepernick, that's a different story. But to call Pete Carroll to ask about a player that he ain't never coached before is a little weird to me.
But it's not just that, Key. And I want to continue that he was asked the question, but he could have said, look, I've never coached. The guy brought him in here, didn't fit for us at the team, and we decided to go in a different direction. Then Pete Carroll's not a part of this. But he elaborated on saying, oh, look, other teams are calling me about him. I expect him to be on a team right now. He said that. That, you know, we can ask the questions. He's the one that answered it the way he did.
And sometimes people want to inject themselves in the conversation. And that's the way that they do it. Sometimes people want to just inject themselves in a conversation.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk more about that as well. Clinton Yates is going to join us at 7:15. I'm sure that we'll discuss all of that plus the NASCAR situation. But coming up next, we've got another snake draft. Key, I won one while you were off for a couple of days, so I'm on a winning streak, a one-game winning streak. A snake draft best superpowers coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
You hear the music, gentlemen. You know what that means. That means it's time for another. It's a snake draft. And, of course, snake we are draft. Doing superheroes because there's a lot of talk in the DC universe, the Marvel universe, a lot of new projects coming up. So I thought if I could have Key, LZ, and Travis be superheroes, get you little tight suits, little spandex things, but you guys got to pick your own superpowers. I want to have a superpower.
You're going to have to calm down.
Well, come on. This is my vision. This is my movie. All right. So with that being said, the order is Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis. And, of course, Travis won in the shortened 60-game season. He demolished LZ in the music videos poll. So we're going to start a new one. It's a superheroes poll, and my guys are going to have superpowers. With that being said, Keyshawn, you are first. What is your first superpower?
It's a snake draft.
Well, you know what? Mine would be time travel.
Ooh,
you know,
ooh,
so I could go back and control things.
Go back to the slavery days.
May not come back, bro. I wouldn't do that. You know, may not come back. You might get stuck. I wouldn't do that one, Steve, if I were you.
No, I'm going to do that one because I'm going to go back. I got the power. I'm not going to get stuck. What, all of a sudden, you think I'm going to lose the electricity in my body? I mean, just work like that.
According to Back to the Future, time travel is nuclear, not electrical, but I understand your point.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so when you look at it, like you said, LZ, over here, I can go back and do some stuff. I mean, Raj, I can go back and do some stuff, change some stuff. So I would go back, especially where we are now, Black Lives Matter. We wouldn't even have to deal with that. We'll put the I'll put the reverse spin on it. Ooh.
Okay. I like that.
Travis.
All right.
I'm in trouble.
Keyshawn, a civil rights superhero. All right. LZ, you're next. You're in the middle there. What is your superpower you're going to take, sir?
Oh, it's the superpower I think everybody dreams about. It's the superpower everybody thinks about, especially when you get trapped in the 405. That is the power of flight, my friend.
Yeah, ooh, that's a good choice.
I would like to fly.
Ooh, okay.
Never buy another plane ticket ever again.
That's right. I believe I could fly. All right, Travis, that brings us to you. You got back-to-back picks because you know what this is.
It's a snake draft.
It's a that's snake right. draft.
All right. The first one that I'm going to take is I'm going to take X-ray vision. I'm going to take the ability to see through walls, to see around corners, to whatever it is. So I always know what's coming up next because I can see through everything. So I'm going to take X-ray vision first. And then just because I can look through something doesn't mean I can actually see everything. So the next thing that I'm going to take is the ability to read minds. I'm going to know what you're really thinking. I'm going to know that you may tell me one thing, but you're actually getting ready to do another because I
run,
can actually
Susan.
Look into your brain and see what's going on. So I'm going to take the ability to read minds as my number two.
Oh, man, that's a dangerous one there. Okay, LZ, that brings it to you for your second superpower. So what are you going to put? You can fly already, LZ. You got your dreads in the air. What else are you going to combo with that?
It's a snake
draft. First of all, I'm totally impressed with Travis. He took my pick. I nowhere in the 1,000 years that I believe you even knew what telepathy was. You didn't use the word telepathy makes you think you still don't know what it is. But it's okay. It's all right. You can take telepathy. I'm going to be a telekinetic.
Telepathy.
I want to be a telekinetic. That's going to be my next superpower.
Explain to the dogs and poodles what telekinetic means.
Yeah, what's that?
Oh, that's the ability to move things with your mind.
Ooh.
I can move things with like my Phoenix. Mind. I can lift things. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I can lift things. So I can push people without even lifting my hands.
Right.
Like
I can suspend you in air. So, yes, you're going to take telepathy, which is really powerful, Travis. I'm going to take telekinesis.
Not bad.
All right.
Not bad.
All right. All right, Keyshawn, that brings us to you. You got two picks because you know what's up.
It's a snake draft.
That's
well,
right.
With that second pick, with that first pick of my two and my second pick of my three, I'm going, speed, super speed.
Oh.
Just flash. Imagine that. Just all of a sudden I'm here and I'm gone. I'm already in Orange County with Travis.
All right.
Like, hey,
you make a comeback. You can
bring
make a comeback, Keith.
We don't have any down here.
Well, that certainly, if the virus is not, if the virus is too slow to catch me.
All right. And so what do you got for your third pick, Keith?
My third pick, so I can change some stuff. I'm extremely fast. And then when you think about the super strength, like just strong, I can pick up anything. I can pick up the, you know, I can go and just pick up the building that Jorge is in right now. That's just like the super strength.
Super speed. And so that's like Terrell Owens, man. You're trying to be T.O.
Oh, no. Well, I don't want that then. Let me check.
Stop it.
Come on. That's fine. It's in. It's in the books. It's in the books. LZ, what's your third?
My third pick. So telepathy is the ability to read minds.
Uh-huh.
I want mind control. I want the ability to control minds.
Okay. So you're trying to be a pimp.
Orally.
Yeah, you know. Travis is gonna read your mind and tell if you're lying or not. I'm gonna control your mind and not care.
Fair enough, Travis. That brings us to you for your third and fourth pick, because you got two picks, man. You know what's up.
It's a snake draft.
So I can see through walls. I can see through things with my X-ray vision. I can look into your brain and know what you're thinking. That's all fine. But LZ can't read my mind or control my mind if he doesn't know I'm there. So I'm going to take invisibility. So I'm going to take the superpower.
That actually is not
invisibility.
True.
It is in it my is comic book, true. LZ. In the Travis Rogers universe, it is absolutely true. So I'm going to take the ability to be invisible. That way I can just kind of do whatever I want. No one's going to know I'm there. And I'm going to know if you're telling lies on me, because I can read your mind. So invisibility, yes. Right there. And then the last one, this one's a little dicey, because it sounds great. And then you start to think about you start to project out 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to take immortality. I'm going to take the ability to be immortal, to never die, as my last one.
Wow. Okay. So you'd be like almost a vampire then. Travis.
Yes.
Okay.
It can read minds, and you'll never see me, and I can look through your little steel case and see what you got in there.
LZ, your final
pick. I'm a tough out.
You're a tough out indeed. You stole mine, Travis.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as anyone who's ever really listened to me over an extended period of time knows, there's one Hollywood actor that I think the world of. Huge, huge crush. And that's Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh Jackman's iconic role is Wolverine. Yeah. And what is Wolverine's mutant power? The ability to heal. He is a fast healer. Mm-hmm. You punch me, I get right back up. You shoot me, the bullet pops out. So I can't get cancer. I can't get the Rona. I can't get no diseases or viruses. So I'm going to be the ability healer like Wolverine.
Okay. I like that. Quick healer, quick healer. Keyshawn, your final superpower. I've got a good team here. I'll be the what's the ball headed guy in the wheelchair?
Oh, Professor X.
Professor X. Yes.
Professor X. Professor X. Yes.
Go ahead.
So Keith, if it's one thing that I always say I want to do, Travis, what is it?
Live forever.
Live forever. From
yep.
Your generation, baby. I want to live forever.
Well, I thought you were going to pick, you always wanted to have a good quarterback.
You know, you regenerate, you have superpowers, obviously, is there. But if I can live forever and just continue to just rejuvenate, it's just, that's what it is. Like I could keep coming back as y'all fade. I just keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back to the fight, no matter what the fight
that's
is.
Gone. That's gone.
Didn't I already take that one?
Oh, Travis, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can't,
I took
immortality. You can't take what's already there.
Yes.
You did. Say it again.
You do know if Eli Manning's drafted number one, you can't draft
number
two.
I didn't hear.
Just spoke to that USC. You just spoke to that USC education, and then Travis said immortal.
No, but he said immortal, but this is something totally different, though.
No, you can't. No.
Reading
no.
the mind and telepathy are the same thing.
What?
Man.
No,
y'all,
pick something.
No, man, y'all wrong on that one.
You can't try and change
up. Well, read, regeneration, Key. Like if in the superhero world, like if you got your arm chopped off, it would grow back. That doesn't right. mean that you live forever. It just means that your stuff will grow.
That's
back.
What Travis has. Travis has healing, right. basically. So.
Man,
I mean, LZ,
I have healing. Yeah, yeah.
Come on, let's go. Time's running up.
Wait, man, relax, man. Okay, I'll take body manipulation. How about that?
Okay. Like Plastic Man?
Yeah, Plastic Man. You can grow. You got strength. You can do all those sort of things. You move around. You know, yeah, I can slip through cracks.
Not bad.
All right. So listen, this is a superhero team. I got a team of superheroes, Travis, LZ, and Keyshawn. You can go on ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed and vote on the poll. Janice will put up and pick your most powerful superhero from 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Travis.
All right. The picture. We finally saw exactly what NASCAR was investigating down in Talladega, and it is exactly as bad as you thought it was. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.